Vous avez remarqué? Les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques approchent à grands pas. Ça va être un moment génial, de fête, de célébration évidemment. Et je ne sais pas dans vos cercles, mais de mon côté, une bonne partie de mes amis parisiens préparent leurs vacances d'été et se posent la question de mettre leur appartement sur Airbnb à cette occasion. Ça pourrait financer au moins en partie leurs vacances, alors ça tombe sous le sens qu'ils y pensent. De mon côté, c'est certain, je serai à Lisbonne, donc mon appartement parisien, dont je suis propriétaire, sera sur Airbnb pour cet été, pendant les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques. D'ailleurs, ça me permettra de financer, en partie, mes vacances. Et vous? Imaginez ce que vous pourriez faire avec ce supplément de revenus. En réalité, votre logement pourrait rapporter plus que vous ne le pensez. Découvrez combien sur airbnb.fr/hôte. C'est airbnb.fr/hôte, H-O-T-E. Allez, place à l'épisode maintenant.
Money is kind of always an issue, whether you have a lot, whether you don't have any money, whether you have a little bit of money. And I realized that by listening to a podcast by Fabrice Florent with a French podcaster. And so I decided to receive someone, and Pedro Correa, who is a friend of mine that I received on this podcast, connected me to Peter Koenig, who is probably the most well-known person talking about that topic, the relationship to money. His book, 30 Lies About Money, was actually recommended by Deepak Chopra, George W. Bush, or even the Pope John Paul II. So I guess he knows what he's talking about because he has done more than 30 years of, retreat around money. And so with Peter, we talk about earning your life. We talk about your self-worth. We talk about the relationship to money. How can it be sane and why it is usually insane, that it brings freedom, does it bring security, what does it bring exactly? And you'll see, I think it's a very interesting conversation, and so I'll let you listen to it. Allez, Vlan, c'est parti! Hi everyone, hi Peter.
Hello Gregory.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm glad. I think this is the very first time that I have an author whose book was recommended by Deepak Chopra, but also George W. Bush, but also the Pope John Paul II. And the question that is raising in my head is, how come money is such an important topic?
Well, if you... let me just answer that first. Before I answer the why, I want to reinforce that it seems to be a very important topic, and anybody listening can go and discover this by themselves. You go into any train, tram, bus, whatever, or restaurant, and listen, as I have done, to the conversations around you, and you will see that money will come into the subject between every 2 and 3 minutes, almost into every conversation. So I just want to confirm that it gives the appearance of being incredibly important because we all talk about it so much. Why is it so important? Because, or this is my belief, we have all been educated to believe that in order to be successful and have what we want in our life, we need to have money. And this education starts extremely young. It's from our parents. They don't even realize that they're teaching us this. But in the first time you go into a supermarket as a small child and you reach out for all the beautiful things on the shelves, the first lesson that you learn is that you're not allowed to have all the beautiful things on the shelves immediately. You can only, if you scream and shout enough, maybe are allowed to have a small sweet or something, and then you're dragged over to another part of the supermarket, and then you see what we call money for maybe for the first time in your life. And you hear the word money, and it might be plastic or paper or something, and you get the first lesson. If you want something in life, you need to have money. And that's where it all starts.
And then comes this expression that I don't really like, but that I use, which is earn your living.
That's right.
Gagner sa vie. What do you think of this expression? And
well,
is it weird that I feel awkward? I mean, I feel it's kind of awkward to me. It is.
Yes, it's you're right to have that feeling. But let me just say, Gregory, that's the second lesson, because after the child has learned the first lesson, that in order to get what you want in your life or to be what you want in your life, you need to have money. The child asks, well, where is the money? And most children know where money is hidden at home. And a very robust statistic, because I've been giving money seminars for almost 40 years, but I ask every single group, how many of you, who stole money from their parents as a child? And the response is between 40 and 70% every single group. It's a very robust figure. So in fact, most of us are thieves at a very young age.
I was.
And then we get this message, second lesson from our parents: you're not allowed to steal money. You shouldn't. Stealing is bad. So what do you do for your money? You need to earn your money. You need to gagner ta vie, earn your living, earn your existence. And I'm happy that you feel uncomfortable with this, because actually we are the only creatures on the planet that have this particular system. And it's totally unnatural, because all other creatures are born and have a right to live and a right to take all the resources they need without having to earn anything.
Yeah, because earning your living, it means that you've lost your life
before you've even
in the first place.
That's right.
Yeah.
At the moment you're born, you've already lost your life. I mean, we should be laughing at this, but it's no laughing matter, really.
No, really, it's so weird. There is this quote that I have from you, which is: "There's no sane relationship to money, but if you love it." I don't know if I translated it right, because I wrote it in French, but I was wondering what you think about it, and can you just explain a little bit?
Yes, I'm talking about now and the future.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at history, if we go back now to 300 years when the present system and our relationship to money was designed, the relationship to money actually designed the system that we have right now, and it became the system of success for science and industry. So for the material production in factories, money and the way money was designed was extremely important. But to cut it short, it was actually a system based on fear. When you talk about earning or living or gagner la vie, you're actually frightened of losing your living and losing your life. And that is actually your existence. And that is actually what the motivation has been and still is in our factories. Just look at China. You go into the factory to work, which is usually unpleasant, to earn your living, meaning make money, in the hope that at some point you'll have accumulated enough that you can stop doing that and start living your life. Now, this has been extremely successful for the production of material goods on a production line. And it's extremely strongly conditioned into each of us, not just mentally, but it's like it's been inculcated into our bodies and souls, and it's been inherited over many generations. Now, I'm coming to the answer to your question.
No, it's fine. I mean, we have time. It's fine.
Okay. Coming to the answer to your question, what's happened, which is potentially tragic, is that we have become like machines ourselves. We're on automatic with this conditioned system. And what we are unconscious or have been unconscious of is that it's an extractive process, extracting capital from nature. So that, you know, we're seeing the extinction happen, we're seeing all the difficulty with climate change and all the other equality and all the other problems. They are actually a consequence of this same system, which was very successful for previous generations, but has gone on automatic. It's like we don't know when enough is enough. We have difficulty, without becoming more conscious, of actually stopping this extractive machine. So my saying about love is that we need to understand that we have been working and are still working on a fear-based system, which is constructed on a fear-based relationship to money and to our life, actually, which was successful for the Industrial Revolution. But now, if we continue it, we are actually going into extinction, and what we need is a love-based system of understanding that we need to love ourselves, we need to love money, but in a different way than just accumulating it, and we need to have a system of currencies which are actually based on love.
that is a very nice thinking, but at the same time, I feel like we are not there at all. I mean, and I was wondering, why would you say that this has 300 years? I feel like before that, money was already something. I mean, we were selling pretty much everything. We were exchanging also things, but the kings had more things than the peasant, or, you know, people who could buy slaves, and, you know,
money was... this is true, but the particular dynamics of the present system were actually created in the 17th century, particularly by a group in England, under a man called Harbin, and part of his group contained Isaac Newton and the philosopher John Locke, and they figured out this system of creating paper money and interest rates, and later came brokers' fees, and so we have a system of exponential interest. I won't go into all the details of this, but the actual system was designed to produce material goods, material products like steam engines, pharmaceuticals, nowadays motor cars, everything that you can produce on a production line. And what the problem? So this worked for probably your grandfather, Gregory, my father, uh-huh, and all those generations back, and was the system of success. The problem with it, with the present generation, and what has not been noticed, is that the needs have shifted from material needs of things being produced on a production line. And if you ask present generations, what do you need right now? It's not, you know, 10 more computers and five more cars. What you'll hear people answer in my seminars is what they answer: I need to have freedom, security, peace, happiness, good health. Basically, things which are immaterial, not material.
That's very true indeed. And but I feel like what I hear on my side, and what I can feel within me, is you want to take out the financial pressure in your life so that you can have that freedom. But a question that I have is, isn't it not a dream, but somehow like something that is not achievable? Like I have this example that I take in my book of this blue collar, you know, married, two children,
good life, everything's fine. I mean, blue collar, but not great life, like successful, like we could imagine in the Hollywood movies, but you know, like just a normal life, happy life. And at some point, the guy earned the lottery. And what happened next is he's losing his wife, kids, and committing suicide. And I feel like a lot of us are dreaming about, you know, having millions and, you know, being able to do this and that and this and that and having no financial pressure. But eventually, I feel like it is not working either. So is that even achievable to have this freedom you were talking about?
It is possible. Mm-hmm. It is achievable. Right. But you need to... and this is what my work over 40 years has been about.
Yeah.
You need to become conscious of your relationship to money and what money, this relationship to money is doing with you and what you are doing with your money. And if you're not conscious, you're just on automatic, as I described before, right. like a piece of machinery. And money has become the taboo, the deepest taboo subject in society. So for people that are developing themselves, that are becoming more conscious, it is actually the last subject that they touch. They touch subjects like nutrition, sexuality, meditation, spirituality, and everything else before it occurs to them that they should be looking at their relationship to money. And actually, when people do look at their relationship to money, they touch the deepest levels of their what they think of as their spirituality, because they're touching something which is deeply locked up in this societal taboo. Actually,
super interesting.
They're touching the deepest parts of themselves, and you gave the example of this person who committed suicide in the lottery. Not everybody commits suicide, but
hopefully,
but many have great difficulties after they've won the lottery, because actually, while you're hoping to win, many people get a sort of buzz out of their hope to win, and after they've won, that buzz is gone, and they're faced with a whole new set of life circumstances, and for some, this new set of life circumstances, including losing your friends, because you know you were brought up in another ambiance in society. I mean, it demands. It's very demanding. It's a very demanding situation for many people, which is why you hear many sad stories of people who have won the lottery.
It's very interesting, and at the same time, I feel like maybe people listening to us will feel like these two guys, they're wealthy and they're talking about money, and they're talking about money because, well, they can.
Because we're privileged.
Because we're privileged, which we are, because, well, being born in Europe is already a large privilege, basically. So the question basically is it an issue or a subject that we talk about when we are wealthy and that, you know, real people, I would say, I don't know, but real people, but, you know, the most people, I mean, the majority is not, don't have this disadvantage of being able to talk about money. You know what I mean? Like, is it something that we talk about because we're wealthy, or
people that are wealthy don't talk about their money?
That's true.
So it's not about being, it has nothing to do with your level of wealth or your level of debt.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can just explain a little bit.
Sure.
The thing to really understand is what money is and how it works, because this is what none of us have been educated in. You know, I went to a good school, I went to university, I went to business school. In none of these places was I ever taught what money is and how it works. So basically, nobody's been taught this in our society. And this is what I suddenly realized. I need to study this to somehow manage my life and be happy. And I decided, I know you've had Pedro Correa on.
Totally.
And he recommended that you contact me. So I made a decision when I was 34, when I had a fair amount of money and was so-called successful, that I would stop, I would never again do anything in my life that I didn't want to do. And I'm now 74. I've been doing what I love for 40 years, actually. And during this, I started to train other people to become like me. I thought, why should anybody do things that they work that they don't love doing, and particularly work which is damaging to them and their families? And I had some of the wealthiest people in my trainings from top companies. And I was really surprised that these people who were in so-called positions of power were not capable of doing what I was doing. And this was a seminal moment for me to start researching the relationship to money, because I saw that when they started sharing around subjects of finance, I noticed how their energy shifted and something changed in them in comparison to when they were talking about their values and what they loved in life and so forth. As soon as they would start talking about money, it seemed that something would change. And I was saying, you know, how does this happen to us? Because money is something that we humans have created, and it's not like nature. And how come that something that we have created, like money, which was designed to help us realize our projects and our lives, is now actually doing the reverse? So this is the fundamental point, Gregory. One has to start researching what's happened there. And what is money is the essential to see how money works, is the essential starting point to be able to analyze this kind of situation.
It is so interesting indeed. I've read this study about money, and they were explaining that, and you know that study, you know, by these Harvard fellows who did the study and said, you know, money is related to happiness until 70,000 euros.
It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
Okay.
So I know this study, of course. But, you know, these guys who did this study haven't looked at their own relationship. It's wishful thinking what they're sharing. I have 40 years of empirical experience of people from the wealthiest, from billionaire down to people who are heavily in debt. Mm-hmm. And this study just does not make it. It just doesn't apply. So what my work has been is to be able to diagnose everybody's relationship to money, to figure out how to do that, and then help them, if they feel they would like it, to be able to live their calling, their life, why they were born, if you like, at the end of the day, with money, but also without money, and with debt and without debt. And it has nothing to do with any quantity of money. This has to do with, I would say, consciousness and love. Those are the two things that really apply. So you know, the question is, for anybody that's not living their life fully, not living, let's call it the raison d'être, why you were born, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can start asking them, well, why aren't you doing that? And within 5 minutes, you will probably find a reason that is related to money. Like, you know, I have to put my children into school and that costs money, or I don't have enough money in the bank, or and. And this is irrespective of how much money people actually have. You have millionaires who will say the same thing.
And that's the weird thing for me. I mean, because I can understand that speech from someone who is in need. Mm-hmm. But then, and I agree, I know some millionaires also because of the startups industry. And I can see that, I mean, if they were happy before having money, they're still happy. But if they were not very happy before money, then they're not happy with money either. I mean, it doesn't change. And they have like real life problems, you know.
So this is what I studied for 10 years and can explain.
Okay.
So you need to look at how money works. And what I came to was that money is just a mental construct. So if you ask somebody, where is your money? If you ask a banker, where is your money? He won't be able, he knows that it's not in his bank, right?
Yes.
He can take out a little bit of money from his pockets, but he knows that that's not really where the money is either. Then he comes to say, well, actually, it's virtual. So what does that mean? You know, it's not touchable. It's not tangible. So where is your money? And the only logical conclusion to where your money is, Gregory, is that it's actually in your head. Money is a mental construct. It's in your head. It's not in your bank account. It starts in your head. It's simply an idea. Now, if you let me continue.
Sure.
So if you can follow this, money is an idea which you project onto an empty screen. Now, the screen is a piece of paper, which you call a banknote, or a piece of metal, which you call a coin, or it's into thin air, your online account. And it works through this process of projection. Now, you were talking about entrepreneurs. When you want to realize something in life, say as an entrepreneur, but just any initiative, any project, or even having a dinner party, it always starts with an idea in your head. And you project this idea outwards, and if you put energy behind it, you realize your idea, whether it's you organizing a dinner party or whether it's Elon Musk sending a man to Mars. Or sending a machine to Mars. It's the same thing. So we realize our projects through having an idea and putting energy behind it. Now, the problem comes if we are not conscious of the ideas we're putting energy behind. And that's what's happening with money, whether we're talking about people who are millionaires or we're talking about people in debt. So people have, you know, I will ask you, what is money for you? If I ask somebody, what is money for you? I get instantly answers. So the answers are money is security. Money is freedom. Money is happiness. But also money is dirty. Money is a source of conflict. Money. So these are ideas which actually are inherited very, very young and carried forward, not just in our minds, but in our bodies. And if we're not conscious of them, what happens is that just like an entrepreneur has consequences through having an idea and energy behind it, we are unconsciously putting energy behind these ideas. So somebody who says money is my security or my freedom will automatically start running after money and start hoarding it and saving it because they believe that having money in their account, their bank account, will actually give them freedom and security. But actually, it doesn't give them freedom and security, so they continue running after money and they become a millionaire. And a multimillionaire, and they still haven't found their security and freedom, so they continue running. At the same time, Gregory, on the other side, there's a person who's saying money is war, like David Graeber, you've probably read. Money is uncomfortable. Money is heavy. Money is dirty. Money is, you know, capitalism is awful. These people, without being aware, they may be saying they need money for their rent or money for food, but actually, unconsciously, they're pushing money away from themselves. Now, if you understand how money is working in this way, you can see the consequences of this relationship to money in people's lives. You can relate it directly. And this has been the basis of the work and how I help people in terms of developing their relationship to money to become more happy with it, if you like, or more at peace with it. Because what we do is we look at the particular qualities that we're projecting onto it. Let's say you saying that money is your security, right? What you're really saying is, I'm an insecure person hoping to become secure by having more money. So you're defining yourself as an insecure person. If you say money is freedom, you're defining yourself as an unfree person hoping to become free by having more money. Mm. And we can diagnose by a set of questions, we can diagnose